Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Que Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly. May He keep you healthy and strong. And may you continue to be a light to all the places you go, to all the brethren in the different churches. And may God continue to give you plenty of wisdom, understanding, so that you also spread it in all the places that you go, and so that you confirm all the brethren in the faith of the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with His angels, and to all the ministers and all the brethren in different countries, and those present here. May God also keep us healthy and strong, and with an open understanding to continue receiving the revelation contained in the seven thunders. Today, we greet all those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, and in the different countries that are watching us, and also those who will be listening to and read this activity later on. Today, Sunday, July 21st of this year, 2024, we also send greetings to the Reverend Jairo Ordóñez from Venezuela, who has a birthday today. May God bless him and continue to use him greatly in the work of God wherever he goes. He's also going there in Colombia, where he also goes. So, wherever he goes, may God continue to use him greatly in the work of God. And all those who have a birthday today and this month, may God bless you greatly. For this occasion, we have the subject, Joseph by the Well, preached on December 22nd, 2007, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. Let us read in Genesis chapter 49, verse 1 and on. And also Genesis 49:22, which was the other scripture that he read to us here. But let us first turn to Genesis 49, verse 1 to 2. And Jacob called unto his sons, and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. You may please be seated, so that we can then go on slowly seeing these portions that we are going to read. And you can be more comfortable there to write some scriptures down. Notice, I will have both here, these two main Bibles. And we are going to go a bit slow on these portions. We desire then that after we write them down, then in our homes we go to those scriptures, and there we see all that these scriptures say regarding what we are reading. And they are of a great blessing after we review them. Look there above verse 1 on chapter 49. In this Bible, our brother William writes, start from the very top because it's quite long. At least it is 4 sentences. He writes, Joseph was the firstborn through Rachel, Jacob's beloved, who he married twice. A comma, she was Jacob's true and only wife. Joseph was the firstborn through Rachel, Jacob's beloved, whom he married twice. She was Jacob's true and only wife. And let us turn to verse 22 of this chapter 49, where he tells us about the blessing for Joseph. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. Above bough, here he writes, branches. Whose branches run over the wall. And there he writes to the left, Ephraim and Manasseh, and at the bottom, children. And on this one, above branches, he writes, children, seed. The anchors have surely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And there at the end, stone of Israel, there he writes, Revelation 2, 17, comma, 3, 12 of Revelation as well. 3:12. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under. And there he writes, Revelation 1:18, and also 20:1, 2, and 3. Blessings of the breasts and of the womb, the blessings of thy father. And there he draws a Star of David, the blessings of thy father, have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. Unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. And on hills he writes, kingdoms. They shall be on the head of Joseph. And here he writes, Joseph equals Jesus. And on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Notice the blessing to Benjamin there, also on verse 27. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey. In the morning there to the left he writes, dispensation, kingdom. And at night he shall divide the spoil. And there he also writes to the left, dispensation, grace. And there above, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. He writes Revelation 7, verse 2. 14, verse 1. And 11, 3 to 7. Now, let us move to Deuteronomy chapter 33. This, I remember when there are many of us when one is in school. And there is always someone, as we say, spaced out, paying attention to other things. And the teacher tells him, write it down, be on the lookout, because this is going to come up on the test. Do you remember they used to tell us that? Many used to say, nah, that doesn't matter. It's not important. Grasp that, well, receive it, because it's going to come in the exam or test. He always, for the stage of trial of adoption, notice there is where God gives that final test to see if you learn well. But notice, God has given at this time some great students, none other than the students that will be transformed. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 13 and on, which is the blessing to the tribes. It tells us here, when he is going to speak about the tribe of Joseph, it says, and of Joseph he said, here he had written, five. He started numbering from the chapter 33 from verse 6. There on 6, let Reuben live, and he writes 1. On Judah, he writes 2. On verse 8, on Levi, he wrote 3. On Benjamin, he wrote 4. And on Joseph, there he wrote 5. And it says, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, There to the side, to the left side, he writes Joseph. And for the deep that cocheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun. And thereafter, by the sun, he writes Revelation 10. And to the right, in the center, he writes Son equals Christ. Malachi 4:5. And for the precious things put forth by the moon. And there to the right, he writes, Moon equals Church. And in this book, in this Bible, he writes, Revelation 10:1-11. There on the center, to the right, 1-18. Matthew 17, verse 1. And he writes, Church, and he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious thing of the lasting hills. On hills he writes, Kingdoms. And for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof. And for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. And he writes the pillar of fire. To the left he writes the pillar of fire. And there, after bush, he writes Revelation 7, verse 2. 2:17 and 3:12. And on this one, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, also to the left he writes, Dispensation, grace, as well as the pillar of fire that he wrote on this other one. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock. And on the right, he writes, Bullock equals face of an ox equals west. And his horns are like the horns of unicorn. With them, he shall push the people together to the end of the earth. And he writes Revelation 19:11-20, 14, 14-20, 2:26-27, 11, 3-7, and 17 from 11 to 20. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim. And there on 10,000s above, there he writes Church. And they are the 1,000s of Manasseh. And to the right, on this one he writes the bride equals Ephraim. The 144,000 equals Manasseh. Now, here we have seen this blessing to that tribe. And we have seen the blessing that he bestowed upon Joseph. And notice that when he was going to bless the sons of Joseph, in chapter 48 of Genesis, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And above verse 1, on this chapter 48, he writes there, Joseph was 56 years old. And there we see all that narration on verse 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's son and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, who God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. In this other Bible, on verse 9, there he draws a Star of David. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath shewed me also thy seed. He was happy to see his grandchildren. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand, toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. Here in this Bible, he writes, right equals east. East. It's a bit cut off, but it's east. Right equals east, left equals west. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. There to the right, he writes, Revelation 1:17, 5, 2 dots. And 10:1-11. And here on this other Bible, on verse 14, he writes Revelation 10:1-11, and a Star of David. And he blessed Joseph and said, now notice, there it is. He's going to bless Joseph. And that blessing would automatically pass on to his sons. But notice, where the birthright blessing would be passed on. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. There on that verse 16, he draws two stars of David. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused. In other words, he was trying to take it there. Put it over here. And he said, No, it's going to stay right here. And his father did not want it to. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. There he draws a star of David to the right. And he writes there, after nations, he writes, Revelation 7, verse 9, and 15:2-4. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel blessed, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And there he draws another star of David to the right. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. And in this Bible, there on verse 22, to the left, he writes, Ephraim receives the double portion for Joseph. Ephraim receives the double portion for Joseph. And here at the bottom on verse 21, he had also written, Ephraim equals the church. Manasseh equals Israel. And also here at the bottom, in other Bibles, well, the verses surely don't have the same layout, but in this version, at the bottom of the Bible, on the left side, on this one is under verse 7, but that's where he wrote, All the sons of Joseph will be called by the names of Ephraim and Manasseh, by the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. All the sons of Joseph will be called by the names of Ephraim and Manasseh, by the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, let us see here, in this message, the two sticks of Israel in the hand of the Son of Man, which was a Friday, was the introduction for Sunday's subject, Friday, August 26, 2016, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. Our brother William tells us, for the kingdom of the Messiah to be established, the 12 tribes of Israel are required to be together for the establishment of the kingdom of the Messiah. Having Jerusalem as its capital, the whole territory of Israel as the federal district, and the people of Israel will have the promised temple and will have God dwelling in the midst of the people, sitting on the throne of David. God in the Prince Messiah promised to the Hebrew people. God's blessing will be there as well as the peace for Israel and all nations. Weapons of war will be turned into working tools, swords into tools to work in agriculture, and so forth, because the Prince Messiah will bring peace to Israel, which Elijah in his fifth manifestation will be proclaiming to Israel at the same time. Therefore, the first thing the Jews will see will be Elijah in his fifth manifestation, proclaiming the everlasting peace in the kingdom of the Messiah. And then later on, they will see Moses. And then later on, they will come to see the Prince Messiah. They will see the Son of Man glorified in the message, Broken Cisterns, on page 2. It tells us, on paragraph 12, it says, "Now, I have been kind of speaking to you on the message, very straight. And I, some people might be under the impression that I think that Jesus is going to come in the morning or tonight. I do. Now, I don't say that He will. And again, He may not come for next week, and He might be next year. He might be 10 years. I don't know when He is coming. But there is one thing I want always you bear in mind. You be ready every minute or hour, see? That if He doesn't come today, He might be here tomorrow. So just keep that in your mind, that He is coming. And I don't know what time is going to be my last hour on this earth, neither does any of us. And there is none of us know when He is coming. He doesn't even know Himself by His own word. There to the left, He draws the Star of David. He said, the Father only knows when He will come. Not even the Son knows when He will come. It's when God sends Him to us again. But we're looking for His coming. And if He doesn't come in my generation, He might come in the next. If He doesn't come in that one, He will come in the next. But for myself, I can't see hardly any time left. To me, it could happen at any minute. Now, that doesn't mean now that you'll see the heaven change in every 3 dots. That's not the coming I'm speaking of. I am talking of the rapture. See, He makes 3 comings. He comes in the 3 sons' names. He comes in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. See, all of it, same Christ, the same God all the time. Now, we know He come to bring 3 works of grace. Then He writes, 1, justification. And He writes, 2, sanctification. And He writes, 3, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everything in God is completed in 3s. And so He comes and He writes, 1, first, to redeem His bride. And there He writes, 2, He comes, second, as a rapture, to take away His bride. He comes, third, and He writes, 3, He comes third with His bride, king and queen. At the bottom here, He writes, Christ comes 3 times. And we have seen in some messages that He says that the 4th is after the millennium, when we come back to earth. But when He comes this time, in other words, there He's referring to the 2nd. When He comes this time, hardly none but those who are ready will know when he comes. There'll just be an absence of people. And he writes there, the coming of the Lord. They won't know what happened to them. They'll just be caught away in a moment. And that they just come up missing. Change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So just be ready for that. It'd be horrible some morning to miss a loved one. No one can find them. And there to the left, he draws Star of David. Notice because, for example, in a home where one is believing the tenth teaching, to say it plainly, and receiving the rapturing faith, and the other one is not. And suddenly, wait a minute, where is this person or where is that person? Or the other? She never leaves like this, or he never leaves like this. That's how it will be. What I long for is everyone in the home, in each home, in each family, will make the rapture. That is the wish, the desire of all. But it would be sad, so sad, if you're with someone you love, and one of them leaves and you stay behind. Now that is very sad, and to have to go through the great tribulation. And I say it and say it and say it. Because that will be like that, brother. It will be something terrible for the man or the woman who stays behind. And I have said it many times, this is not a game. But notice, it'd be horrible some morning to miss a loved one. No one can find them. Wouldn't it be too bad to know it's done past and you missed it? So, just keep before God. There on the right, he draws a Star of David. And notice, he continues to say, that is the order of the coming of the Lord with his angels at the end time, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah at the end time, where the dispensation of grace will also end, and the introduction of the gospel of the kingdom will come. In the message that he preached to us, let us see here. Of the seals. I had a writing. Let us see here in the book. Book of the Seals, on page 533, which is the portion that our brother William is about to read, so that we have it open here. He says, notice what it says on page 533 of the book of the seals. The Reverend William Branham says, this is on page 533. That's on paragraph 173. This time was between the sixth and seventh seal, that he calls these people spoken of by Jesus in Matthew the 24th chapter and the 31st verse that we just read. See? Trumpet here, the two witnesses, when the trumpet sound is the trumpet of the two witnesses of the age of grace for the Jews. One trumpet sounds, you notice, one trumpet sound. He said he'd sound the trumpet. Now, notice over here, 31st. And he shall send forth his angels, not one, see, there is two of them, with a great sound of a trumpet. What is it? When God gets ready to speak, there is a sound of a trumpet. That's always his voice, is calling to the battle. And he writes here to the left, the great voice of the trumpet and Moses and Elijah. see God speaks, these angels will come forth with the sounding of the trumpet. That's as far as our brother William read. Our brother William goes on to say, and why do these angels, these ministries of Elijah and Moses, come to call 144,000 Hebrews to the divine program for the Messianic age or Messianic stage, which at this end time will open its doors in the message, the rapture? I didn't bring it here, but there's a place where he says that he carries it out. He carries that out himself. The three things. I believe we read it in Ecuador. That portion that he writes there, and he writes in that portion, God will do the three things through a prophet. On the page 24 of the rapture, he writes, that is, he numbers them, a shout, voice of the archangel, trumpet of God. And there he writes on the side, God will do the three things through a prophet. Our brother William continues to say, therefore, the two ruling sticks that Judah and Joseph have in the hand of Ephraim shall be joined together, and it will be one stick in the hand of the Son of Man. In the message countdown preached on February 9th, 1964, because there's another one that he titled like that as well. But on this one, on this date, notice what he says on page 27. Page 26 on this Spanish version. The bottom of 26 and the top of 27. It says on paragraph 181, now look at here. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost separated itself, and tongues of fire set upon each one. The great pillar of fire separated, and each one received a portion of that Holy Spirit upon them, like tongues of fire. And notice what he writes here in this Bible study. Which was for that weekend. We put that portion that I'm reading. And on that portion there, next to it, he writes, two tongues of fire, the two sticks. Well, if you put one tongue of fire and two tongues of fire together, you got twice the strength that you had in one. And he writes to the side there, the two sticks, Ezekiel 37:15-39. Remember, wasn't it Ezekiel in his vision of the two sticks in the hand? You see? Now, let us see here. On page 69. On the book of quotations, what he tells us there, on paragraph 597, it says, and as Elijah went down to Jordan one day and struck it with Elisha, and he parted back and he crossed over. He come back and he writes, the second Elijah equals Elisha. He come back with a double portion. And when we strike Jordan with Christ, then he writes, Elisha, Moses, and Elijah, the Holy Spirit. H.S. And when we strike Jordan with Christ, we got one portion. But when we return, we're coming with two portions. We got eternal life, resurrection from sin now, in righteousness with the Holy Ghost. And then, on the return with Christ, we come back with both physical resurrection. And we already got spiritual resurrection. We have a double portion of it. Double portion, the spiritual resurrection, the physical resurrection in the return with Christ. He wrote that at top. And at the end of the paragraph, there to the side, he drew a cornerstone. Now, notice what he continues to say. Look at this line here. Further on of this message that we're reading, and now we have seen that just as the two sticks of the power of the kingdom, which identify him as king, will be in the hand of the Son of Man at his coming, at the end time. What identifies him as king? Notice, by having those two sticks. Where does it say that? From both people, he made one. Galatians or Ephesians? Ephesians 2? Let us see there what Paul tells us. Ephesians 2. Verse 14 says, for he is our peace, who had made both one, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. There it is. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That is the Spirit. Notice that will also return to Israel, where in Ezekiel it shows us there that he is commanded. And that is the fourth stage. Because notice, let us look at this one also to have it there in case. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Notice, from verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Here on verse 5, to the left, he draws a Star of David. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. He draws a Star of David. And he told us that that spirit would return to Israel through a prophet. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones come together, bone to his bone, and on bones he writes one, and when I beheld, lo, sinews, and he writes two, and the flesh came up, and he writes three, the flesh come up, and the skin covered them above, and he writes four, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. There on breath he writes four. And they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Here in this Bible, he writes, going upward on the side, he writes Matthew 24:31. And there under it, writing upward, Revelation 22:17, 19:11-21, 11:3-6. There is the coming of the Lord, and there are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Because what the seventh seal is to the church, which is the coming of the Lord, is the seventh trumpet to Israel, Moses and Elijah. In other words, it is the same instrument that was in the church. Now, he is working in the midst of Israel, bringing the Spirit of God. Now notice what our brother William continues to say here. And now we have seen that just as the two sticks of the power of the kingdom, which identify him as king, will be in the hand of the Son of Man at his coming at the end time, the promise of the coming of the Son of Man will have the two sticks in his hand. And when it is says the two sticks, those are the two ruling staffs of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Luke chapter 21 verse 27 says, And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The redemption of the body, our transformation. Now notice, by him having those two ruling sticks, means that that northern kingdom and southern kingdom will be ruled by that prophet. Because they will be in the hand, which was seen in that vision. Notice that he tells us on chapter 37 from verse 15 and on, where he tells us about those two sticks in the hand of the prophet. Let us turn to verse 19, it says. Verse 18, or verse 15. Let us turn to verse 15, it says on chapter 37, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick. And they shall become one in thine hand. Now remember that Jesus came from Judah. The angel came from Ephraim. Because the birthright blessing, notice, passed on to the Gentiles. In other words, from among the Gentiles, the angel of the Lord has been working, bestowing the birthright blessing. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not shew us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. Notice, there is a king. And they shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. One king and one people. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I gave unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yet I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. There beside verse 26 he writes, Covenant of Peace. Now, our brother William continues to say, Therefore, let us be prepared, because something great will take place from God at this end time, which will give us the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then, the Word, God, will go on to deal with the Hebrew people for the restoration of the kingdom of David on this earth, as it is promised in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 to 29. in the Book of the Seals. On page 534, it tells us, let us see over here also, to have this one open as well. Here it tells us we would need to have them, because in each one of them there is something that opens up to us the whole picture. Notice it says, page 534 of the Book of the Seals, verily I say unto you that this generation shall not be consumed, done away with, this people, until all these things are. What won't be done away with? They've tried to kill the Jews of the earth all the time. They'll never be able to do it. But notice, the very generation of Jews that seen the return back into Palestine, that generation would see these things happen. And just the last 2 years, she was fully become a nation with her own money and whatever. There she is. Now, where are we at, friends? The seals and everything opening. Now, we're getting this in between here. And he writes there, above that paragraph, in between the sixth and seventh seal. In other words, what he had already preached, which he also writes on the left, toward the top, Moses and Elijah and the 144,000. Here in this one he writes, there above as well, that is why it's good to leave space, write small to fit what he had written in other books. Sometimes I don't bring everything, and in some other study we see it. And there is also something written as well. Notice in this one is in between, on top of the seal and everything opening, he writes, the 144,000 Jews are between the sixth and seventh seal. The 144,000 Jews are between the sixth and seventh seal. God is an open book for the elect. Today, God is an open book for you and for me. He is revealing to us the deep things. Glory to God. See where we are sitting? I hope you get it. I haven't got no education. I know what I'm talking about, but maybe I can't explain it to make sense to you. But I hope that God takes the words that's mixed up and divides them outright, see? And lets you know what it is. Because we're at the door. We're here at the time. There he writes, at the door. And here, he writes, education. and he draws a Star of David. Now notice, see right away now, he turns to these Jews, and at the end time, he says what's going to take place. We know even that now. We know, we're well aware, that the tribes are scattered. They have been for 2,500 years. They were prophesied to be scattered to the four winds. Did you know that? We know that. Of course, we won't have to go back and pick that, because I got something here real important I want you to see. Before you get too tired and I get wore out. Notice, we know even every tribe that is tribal chronology or whatever you want to call it is geology, and the tribe's position are not no more together. They're scattered everywhere. The Jews are gathering into Jerusalem. They don't even know their tribes. And there he draws the Star of David. They haven't got any more tribal banners or anything. All they know then that they're Jews. They were prophesied to be that way the world over. Now, their books has been destroyed. They don't know. You see, what tribe you're from? I don't know. What tribe? I don't know. One from Benjamin, one from this, and one from that. They don't know where they're from. Their books has been destroyed through the wars and for 2,500 years. Only thing they know, they're Jews. That's all. So, they know they're back in their homeland. They notice, though they don't know their tribes, but God does. I just love that, you know. He even said there's every hair on your head is numbered. Notice, he loses nothing. I'll raise it up again at the last day. And there he writes, the seventh millennium. In the message, recognizing your day and its message, let us make a pause here and continue on page 11 on this message. In this study, we also place that excerpt. And notice what he wrote there. It says, now, Hosea said in 6:1, return to the Lord. Remember, he said that they would be scattered, and they were. He said, they'll return to the Lord after they had been scattered, and he will bind them up. Notice, return, be scattered. The second, they were torn and was blinded. That's just exactly what happened. He will heal us and bind us up. Like in Ezekiel 37, the dry bones of the valley full of dry bones. Ezekiel saw it, their return again. Then notice, Hosea said, after 2 days. After 2 days, he would return to them. He will receive us and give us and revive us. Now, revive doesn't mean resurrection. Revive there is the same word used anywhere else. I just looked it up. Means a revival. And he writes there in the excerpt, in the study, a revival. Ezekiel 37:1-14 and 37:15-29. He will revive us after 2 days. That would be in the third day, he will revive us again. And there he writes, in the third day equals third dispensation. He will revive us. And there in between, third millennium. And here he writes, in the Bible study, he will resurrect us equals he will revive us. After he scattered us and blinded us and tore us. You know, the Jews were blinded for the very purpose that we could have sight. They were torn apart and scattered as a nation. Now, how would they receive that revival? He says in the book of quotations that God cannot send a revival. Let us see where that part is. I believe we were searching for it recently. quotations? God cannot send a revival till He's got the man too. It is said something like that. 2:18. Page 26, paragraph 218, it says, and so we tonight want to think on that and remember that in the midst of all this cry, God cannot send a revival till He's got man in shape to take it. And before we can have this revival, God has to call out and train man. God trained man to carry this message. See, and he writes, a man for a revival. There he drew a cornerstone. And to the left there, where it says, and he can send a revival, he draws a cornerstone. Now notice. He goes on to say, and rejected their Messiah, that we might receive the Messiah, that there might be a people called out of the Gentiles for His name's sake. Now, the man comes forth, and the woman takes his name. These blinded Gentiles who can't see the name the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism is just too bad. But it has to be that way. The Jews, they had to. They had to not see that. There is only one can see it. That's the one who is predestinated to see it. There is no way for a predestinated and elect to miss it. That's the one who is predestinated to see it. Otherwise, you'll never see it. In other words, if you're not predestinated, there is no way for you to see it. The Jews could not see that being their Messiah. And yet, they were scholars and theologians, men of great renowned scholarship, read the same Bible that you read. Now, after it's been made known to us, we can see it plain that was Messiah. But they couldn't see it, neither can they see it today. They are prophesied to be blinded too. The church, this day, is prophesied to be blinded, to reject the evening time message. And there he writes, they can't see the Messiah today. Revelation 3 said so. Thou art wretched and miserable. Notice the bride's condition the other night, or the church, naked, blind, and don't know it. Lord Jesus, be merciful to us. The Bible said she was naked. In other words, the seventh age. I never saw it till just now. Laodicea church was naked. And when she appeared the other night, she was naked. What will be of those who stayed in that seventh age, where he said in 2000 that we were entering into that seventh stage? Well, they would be in the same condition as the seventh age of the church of Laodicea, and they don't know it. Never noticed it, and I didn't know it. Oh, how thankful, how no wonder we are so grateful. I feel that we're not grateful enough for the things that God is making known to us. Naked. And the vision said, showed me she was naked and didn't know it, and blinded. As Israel was blinded so that the Gentiles could come in. Now the Gentiles are blinded so the bride can be taken out and Israel can receive the feast of the trumpets. And there he writes, open to Israel the history of the seven trumpets. Just perfectly. After 2 days, He will revive us, or give us a revival, bringing us together, the Jews speaking on these trumpets now, and we shall live in His sight, or have eternal life. See, we'll be in His sight. The Bible said here in Hosea said, and we shall live in His sight, life, have life in His sight. That's His own life, eternal life. Have life in His sight. She, and he writes, Laodicea, she that lives in pleasures is dead while she is alive. So he promised that Israel again would have life in His sight. She's been dead to the facts, and to the Pentecostal feast. Now let us continue here. In the Book of the Seals, where we stopped on page 535, it says, though they have lost their tribal banners and who which one is and whether they are this or that, but anyhow God calls them here. Now, notice, in Revelation 7, we read this, 12,000 of each tribe, of the elected out of all of it. There is 12,000 out of each tribe that's elected, and they're set right here in order. Oh my, what are they? They're in tribal order. Yet, they're not now, but they will be. They're in tribal order. What will be in tribal order? Not the regular Jews, no. But the one that's the elected, the 144,000, will be set in tribal order. Oh my. How I'd like to show you, we won't go into it. But that's exactly what the church has to be, right in order. And he writes there on the left, going upward, in order. And at the top he writes, the church has to be in its perfect order. And with a question mark he writes, which age do you belong to? And in this one, he draws a cornerstone on the right, on 461. To the right, a cornerstone and the ages. Now, I want you to watch real close and read with me for a minute. Now, here's something that maybe you never noticed, the tribal calling. I told you a while ago to read Revelation 7. Read with me and watch those tribes. In Revelation 7, Dan and Ephraim is missing and not numbered with them. Did you notice that? Joseph and Levi were substituted in their place. Why? The ever-remembering God remembers every promise of His Word. Oh, I'd like to preach on that. See? God don't forget nothing, though it looks like. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages on this one. Israel had been down there 400 years. And there on top he writes 400 years in Egypt. But they had to go up that time. He told Abraham and his seed would be sojourning in a strange land for 400 years. Then he'd bring them out with a mighty hand. But then he said to Moses, I have remembered my promise. I've come down to make good what I've said. God doesn't forget. He doesn't forget His curses, neither does He forget His blessings. But every promise that He made, He stays with it. And there to the left, He draws a Star of David. Here is why they were missing. Now, if you watch, now read. I want you to read with me now. Go over Deuteronomy, the 29th verse there on the 29th chapter, rather. There's a reason for these tribes not being there. Everything has got a reason for it. Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter of Deuteronomy. Now, the Lord so helped me that we can understand now. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which we passed by. And ye have seen the abominations and their idols, wood, stone, silver, gold, which were among them. Everyone carried a little something or other, a little statue of a Saint Cecilia, you know, something like that, see? Lest there should be among you a man, woman, or a family, or a tribe, whose heart turned away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall, and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart and say, I have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my own heart. See, people say, oh, he blessed himself. You know, make a little cross or something, like they do now, you see? Same thing, see? And you see, it's a heathen trait, see? It's like the heathen. He blesses himself in his own heart. He owns imagination in his own mind to add drunkenness to thirst. Just drink that don't make any difference. As long as you go to church, you're all right. Then the Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord, his jealousy, shall smoke again that man. And of all the curses that are written in this book, don't take one word from it or add one to it, see? Shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under the heaven. That's why he's here on earth, see? Under the heaven. And there, he writes, he will blot out his name. He wrote it upward. And the Lord shall separate unto him evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that's written in this book of the law. Deuteronomy 29:16-21. Therefore, if any man will serve an idol, or keep an idol on him, there he writes, the idols. And above that paragraph he writes, Revelation 17:1-18, and 18:1-24. Therefore, if any man will serve an idol, or keep an idol on him, or bless himself in his own imagination of his mind and serve idols, God said, man, woman, family, or a tribe, his name will be completely blotted out from amongst the people. Now, is that right? How true? Idolatry did the same thing in the church years ago as does today. And I notice, watch how the Antichrist tried to make an anti-move. How many knows that the devil types and patterns after God's saints? What is sin? Is right thing perverted? What is a lie? Is the truth misrepresented? What is adultery? Is the right act, legal act, done wrong? See? There, to the right upwards, he writes, the devil impersonates everything. And he also writes on this one, imitation. And also to the left on that paragraph, he writes, the seventh is also the eighth. Revelation 17, 11-21. And is of the seventh and goes into perdition. That is what that scripture says. Now, in trying to do this, blot out a name, did you notice in the church age, the same beast that serves the image of the dead people and so forth, tried to blot out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give titles as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Same thing with that curse behind it, like that. Dan and Ephraim did just that under a hypocrite of a king in Israel, an impostor, Jeroboam. Now, notice in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, I know this to me, it lays a background on what we can depend on, what we see. Then Jeroboam, Shechem, in the Mount of Ephraim, and dwelt there, and went out into and built Penuel. And now Jeroboam said in his heart, see, the imagination of his heart. Now shall the kingdom turn to the house of David. He was getting scared, you see, because the people might go out. If these people go up to sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people be turned again unto the Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go unto Rehoboam, Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Here on this one he writes, the two calves of gold. And he set up the one in Bethel, and the other one put he in Dan. And this thing become a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even to Dan. 1 Kings 12:25-30. See Ephraim at Bethel and Dan, and they set up idols, and this went out to worship this. And here we are, plumb down. And he writes, in the Great Tribulation, and here we are, plumb down into the millennium age almost. And God still remembers that sin. They're not even counted in there. Hey, glory. Just as sure as he remembers every good promise, he remembers every one evil too. Just remember when. That's the reason I believe, friends, I've always tried to say with the word, no matter how strange it seems. See now, they wouldn't think about that there then. They thought, well, they got by with it. All right. But here they are over here in the millennium age setting in, when their names and tribes is blotted out from it because they serve idolatry that God cursed. Didn't he say he hated the Nicolaitans and the Jezebels? Stay away from it. Didn't he say he would kill Jezebel's daughters with the killing of death, which is eternal separation from his presence? Don't trust in it at all. Get away from it. So, God remembers. Notice. But did you notice there, it was to be blotted out. Why? Under heaven, there was no immediate sacrifice that could give him the Holy Spirit to let him see these things. But he did it anyhow in his own selfish mind. But Ezekiel, in his vision in the millennium, he sees them again in perfect order. Ezekiel 48:1-7. Also read the 23-29. And also in Revelation 14, John sees them again in tribal order. That's right. Every tribe to his place. What happened? You remember, he said, under the heavens, that his name would be blotted out of the tribal affair. As long as he was under the heavens, there would be no more. And this 144,000 is down here in the tribal part, yet. And he writes on the left, going upward, under heaven. Under heaven. Right. But you see, they had been blinded. They had only the sacrifices of bulls and goats. See? Now notice. He blotted them out under the heaven. There he writes at the top, under the heaven. But the Gentile in the days of the Holy Spirit, against that, your name was taken completely off the book of life. To the right, he writes, the book of life. And could never have forgiveness in this world or the world to come. That is why he said, both Jesus as well as our brother Branham and our brother William, that any word against the Son of Man would be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit would not be forgiven, neither in this world nor in the world to come. That's right. So there is where we stand. Israel under goats, sheep. There they found the quote, so that you can have it. Page, is it 50? Of the book of quotations, which is an excerpt from the ages, what he spoke. Page 50, paragraph 431. The Father judges no man, but he's committed all judgment to the Son, God's judgment seat, and he writes throne. God's judgment seat. You speak against me, he'll be forgiven you. Speak another one coming, another mercy seat. Speak, you speak against the Son of Man, I will forgive you. But someday the Holy Spirit will come to dwell in the hearts of the people. One word against it will never be forgiven. It keeps getting more severe and more severe all the time. The judgment. Because God is continually wearing His patience out, trying to get sinners to come to Him to be reconciled. And they call Him Beelzebub. And they call Him false prophet, and they call Him many things. They have also called Him usurper. First, He was in the heavens above and shining through the stars. The second, He was on earth shining through the Shekinah glory. Next, He came and was made flesh and dwelt among us, still wearing His patience. Then He redeemed men by His blood, came into His church in the form of the Holy Ghost, and speak against that, it's a finished thing, done. Now, you can see where the Shekinah come, where the time they don't realize. People can't comprehend what it means. Now, the first throne was in heaven, judgment seat. The second throne was in Christ. The third throne is in a man. And there at the bottom he writes, first throne equals in heaven. The second throne equals Christ. The third throne equals man. And he writes, the tabernacle. And he writes, Revelation 10, 8 to 11. 11, 3 to 6. And what is it? Moses and Elijah, the ministries of Moses and Elijah. And to the right there in is in a man, an arrow to a cornerstone, where he writes, throne. He continues on page 539. That's right. So there is where we stand. Israel on the goat's sheep. They did have a place. As long as they was on the earth here, their tribes was missing. They could never be included. Now, when he called them over there, the 144,000, they were missing. That's right. They're not even numbered in there. And Joseph and Levi is put in the place of Dan and Ephraim. Now you can look at that. Right there it is before you, see? And here is God's promise way back there, hundreds and hundreds of years before that. Now, what happened? They were purged during the time of the awful tribulation period. Now, if God is going to purge that virgin that was a good woman, but she failed to get oil in her lamp, and He is going to purge her through persecution in there. He puts them tribes right in there for the same thing and purged them during the time of the tribulation period because it's a purging time. It's judgment. There he writes, they don't have a specific number. He wrote it on the left, upward. And also to the right, upward, he writes, both tribes go through the tribulation. The sleeping virgins are the type. But you see, and look here. Here comes up the 144,000 after the purging of Israel. And here come up also the sleeping virgin, come up purged, and has white robes on. See how perfect, how beautiful that is. Just like Jacob is the time of trouble, see? Jacob in the time of trouble. Now notice that the sixth seal, he says that it has three purposes. Page. Let us see something here first. In page 555 of this book. So, we don't miss this little part here, where it says, now, what happened? In that paragraph to the left, he writes, they go through the tribulation. And he writes there, Ephraim and Dan. He wrote it further down. And on this other one, there at the top, on the side, on the top of that paragraph, he writes, the Great Tribulation is a purging time for, two dots, the foolish virgins, the 144,000 Hebrews. The Great Tribulation is a purging time for the foolish virgins, comma, the 144,000 Hebrews. Now, on page 560, there is where it tells us of that trifold purpose of the sixth seal, which is for the foolish, for the 144,000, and for the earth, for the world. 560, it says, now we find out also in this that the sixth seal now being opened, it was for a threefold purpose. Now here was the purposes. The first thing was the sleeping virgin had to go through the tribulation period for purification. She had to be purged of her sins of unbelief and rejecting the message. This she was done in the tribulation period. On the sleeping virgins, he writes, one. And at the top he wrote, the three purposes of the sixth seal, purification. We see they wind up over here in Revelation 7, between the sixth and seventh chapter here, that she had been purged, and she had been given her robes. Now, she is not the bride, but it's the church, the pure people that didn't have the opportunity maybe to receive the message, or in some way that they were blinded by these false prophets, and they didn't get a chance. And yet they're really sincere in heart, and God knows their heart. And here they are purged during this time. You noticed it. Another purging time. That's for Israel. And he writes too. When she gathers, that's the second fold. God purges Israel. God purges Israel in the tribulation period. Out of the millions that'll gather there, there'll be a selected 144,000, and they will be purged also. God is purging Israel. Notice there is a whole earth, and he writes three, is to be purged. There will be such a thing that the moon, stars, and all nature will be purged. You see what it is? The earth is renewing herself, being purged, getting ready for the millennium. The millennium is coming up, and see, everything that's got any filth in it is to be purged during the sixth seal. And there to the left, he writes, the church, the 144,000, the earth. And then he continues to speak of the three purposes of the seventh seal as well. Now, on 527, also tells us on the book of the seals. But the age is coming when the Gentiles will be done with. There is a tree, and the roots was Jewish, and it was cut off, and the Gentiles was grafted in, the wild olive tree, and is bringing forth its fruit. Now, when that Gentile bride is cut off, that bride tree I talked about, and is taken up in the presence of God, God will wipe off them unbeliever Gentiles, over here to the side, the sleeping virgin, and graft again. He promised to do it. And there where he says, but the age is coming, on that paragraph he writes, the eighth age, the one of the cornerstone. And also going upward to the right, he writes, the roots were Jewish, and the bright tree ends up with Jews at the top. He promised to do it. And until that time, and he writes 8 days, you just have to know where you are. If you know where you're going, well, all right. If you don't know, why? You're stumbling in darkness. Now, that's when the Jews will be converted during that age. And he writes 8 age. Now, like the church age, under the power of the anointed promise, they will receive Christ. But now, not while the Gentiles are in. And he writes, the 7 ages. Now, we can see what kind of a message that these two prophets of Revelation, the 11th chapter, will preach. Now, you clearly can see exactly what they're going to do. For the remnant of the 144,000 predestinated receives the seal of God. And he writes, the 144,000 receive the seal of God. Our brother William continues to say, and at this end time, everything is being prepared for the fulfillment of what was also seen on Mount Transfiguration, where the order of the coming of the Messiah with his angels was shown, which were Moses and Elijah there, talking with the Lord Jesus about his departure to Jerusalem. As simple as that. We have seen everything contained there in this vision, or these two visions, because we lightly touch on that of the vision of the dry bones and also of these two sticks, which at this end time will be in the hand of a prophet, the command. Joseph by the well. And notice, we still haven't touched on broken cisterns. What he tells us there. But I think we can stop here and thus see this subject, this message, Joseph by the well, where he tells us about these two sticks. Let us leave that one for another occasion then, where we can expand more on that well that is springing up onto and has sprung up onto everlasting life in the first coming and in his second coming. Joseph by the well. Let us stand. And in this way, we are all ready to receive this message that we have for today, which tells us about all of this that we have spoken on this occasion. Joseph by the well. Joseph by the well. We leave with us in this subject, Joseph by the well, our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.